Being that it is almost Rosh Hashanah, let's talk a little bit about the halachos of tkiyas shofar. So we have a gemara in Rosh Hashanah, daf tes zayin amud beis, which tells us, Amar v'yitzchak, lama token emeirin, why do we blow the shofar, kishahein yoshvin, when we're sitting down, meaning before Shemona Esrei, and then chozer matoken emeirin, kishahein nomdim, then we go back again and blow the shofar, when we're in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So the gemara answers, the real reason is, kedei la'arvev es hasatan, it's just to confuse the satan, that he shouldn't know what's going on, and therefore we try to throw him off. We blow shofar once, he thinks it's all over, then we blow shofar again later, and he's all confused. So the Rishonim have a major discussion that now that we know that we have instituted the blowing of the shofar both before the Shemona Esrei and during the Shemona Esrei once again, which one is considered the real tkiyas shofar? Which one do we consider to be the real one? And which one is going to be the add-on later on? So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim. The tour writes very, very clearly, based on the opinion of the Ran in Rosh Hashanah. He says, Abba le'olam, ikar ha-tkiya hi ha-me'umad. The main point of the tkiya shofar in Rosh Hashanah is to do it in the context of the Shemona Esrei, shehu al seder ha-brachos, because that is in the middle of the Malchi Zechronos and Shofros, and that's what we're really supposed to be doing. And this is also the opinion of the Ran, as we mentioned, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, writes this very, very clearly. So why is it that we make the bracha at the beginning? Why do we make the bracha if this is not the real tkiyos? If the real tkiyos are going to be later on in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, why do we make the bracha before we start Musaf at all? Why does that make sense? So the answer is because the Gemara has Himsachim Gaf Kuf Tezvav, a discussion what to do on the night of the Seder. You have to eat the karpas and then you have to eat the marur. So says the Gemara, La'achar Shemile Kreso, after you're going to eat the karpas and eat and eat and eat, then you're going to make the bracha after when you get to the mar, alachilas mar. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says you should make the bracha alachilas mar early on in the middle of the, in the beginning of the Seder night. And even though you're not going to perform your mitzvah mar till later on, still you make the bracha at the beginning, the first time you have the opportunity to be involved in some part of this mitzvah. And based on that, we assume the same should be over here. Tosis writes that it's a direct parallel. So too over here, if you're going to blow the shofar at the beginning of the Musaf, and then you're going to blow again later, it doesn't make sense to hold off on the bracha till later, so we make the bracha before, and that covers us for the tkiyas that we're going to do later as well. The Rambam disagrees with the Rishonim, and the Rambam disagrees and feels that the main tkiyas that we do nowadays are the tkiyas that we blow first. Those, the tkiyas to Meyushav, are one of the most important, and the ones later on are only considered secondary. That's clearly the opinion of the Rambam, and that is also the opinion of the Rif. The Rif was one of the Rabbeim of the Rambam as well. So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim, and the way it trickles down the halacha would be also a very important point, because what would be the din if somebody would talk in between when you start blowing the shofar and when you finish blowing the shofar in the middle of the Shemona Esrei? So that should really boil to this very issue, because if you believe that we make the bracha in the beginning, but really the ikar tkiyos, the main tkiyos that we blow are going to be later on in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, then you really shouldn't have a right to talk in between, because you're in the middle of being engaged in a mitzvah and your bracha has to go on the mitzvah, you haven't yet fulfilled it. So this is a big machlokas harishonim, what's the halacha if a person talks in between the first set of tkiyos and the second set of tkiyos. Rabbeinu Simcha, who is quoted in the Beis Yosef and in others, writes that you have to be chozer mevarich, you have to go back and make a bracha again, just like a person who says a bracha al netilas lulav, then they get distracted and they go somewhere else and they get involved in something and then they come back to shake the lulav, you have to make a bracha again. So to over here, somebody who gets distracted and who speaks, who is mafsik in between the bracha and the second set of tkiyas later on, Rabbeinu Simcha is of the opinion that they have to go back and make the bracha once again. The Rambam is of the opinion, some Rishonim are of the opinion that no, you're even allowed to talk lechatchila, because since we assume that the main tkiyos that we do are the first set of tkiyos, according to some Rishonim, so you don't have to make a bracha again afterward, because you made the bracha, you did your mitzvah, and the tkiyos that we're going to do later on in the Chazaras Hashatz, those are the add-ons. So therefore, there's no problem at all to talk, because you've already performed your mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. However, we adopt the middle opinion, and that is the opinion of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that we assume that you're not supposed to, from the time when you start the tkiyas shofar through the end of Chazaras Hashatz, and it doesn't matter why you're talking, but you shouldn't talk at all. Doesn't matter. There's nothing that's more important than the tkiyas shofar at that time, and one should be careful not to speak from the beginning when we make the bracha until after we're finished with the tkiyas at the end of the Shemona Esrei, at the end of the Chazaras Hashatz. But b'diyeved, we hold if somebody does talk for whatever reason, you have a gabbai who has to talk to somebody for whatever reason, there's no other reason why a person should have to talk in the middle of davening, so then we even that a new bracha does not have to be recited. That's the psak that we generally follow when it comes to the bracha on Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. In discussing the proper way to count Sfiras HaOmer, the Rosh writes in the end of Maseches Pesachim, and that's where much of the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer are discussed, because when it talks about the halachas of Leil HaSeder, the Gemara then goes on to talk, I'm sorry, the Rishonim there go on to discuss the issues revolving Sfiras HaOmer. So there, the Rosh writes a famous comment, and he says that you have to count Sfiras HaOmer while in a standing position, while in a erect position. Why? The Tana Rabbanan, he says, because we have a tradition. Mehachel Chermesh Bakama. It says, when do you start counting Sfiras HaOmer? Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, when you start having the stalks of wheat are standing up. And the Rosh writes, Al Tikre Bakama Ela Bakoma. We have a play on the words that it doesn't mean when the stalks of wheat are standing up, but it means you have to count when you are standing up. Bakoma, when you are in, your full body is standing up in an erect position. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, Simen Tav Pei Tes, that a person has to stand up while they count the Sfiras HaOmer and while they make the bracha on the Sfiras HaOmer as well. As an extension to this halacha from Sfiras HaOmer, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that one should stand up when putting on the tzitzis as well. Why should you stand up when putting on the tzitzis? So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, we have this drasha of the Rosh by Sfiras HaOmer, which says, Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, and we make a Gzeira Shava, we make a parallelism. Anywhere else in the Torah where it says the word Lachem by a mitzvah, you have to stand up. So since it says, Usvartam Lachem by Sfiras HaOmer, and by Sfiras HaOmer we know that you have to stand, so therefore we extend that and we say that carries over to all other mitzvahs where it says Lachem as well, and therefore since by Tzitzis we're told, Vahaya Lachem Litzitzis, therefore you have to stand up by Tzitzis, just like you have to stand up when you're doing the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Now, this Gzeira Shava is a very questionable Gzeira Shava. Who has the right to make such a drasha? Who said just because it says Lachem over here, Lachem over there, Lachem in the third place, therefore they all mean the same thing? What's the connection at all? So the Sefer Yireyim, one of the Rishonim, writes that actually drasha zu shamati, he says, I actually heard about this Gzeira Shava of Lachem, Lachem, where we want to say you have to stand up by all those mitzvahs. And he says, V'lo yadati mekoma. I've heard it, I learned it in yeshiva, but I have no idea where it comes from. I don't know what the source of such a drasha is. Torah Tmima writes that he looked around and he looked around and he says, Brais Azu doesn't show up anywhere. There's no source for this idea that we transfer over the idea of Lachem, that you have to stand up by Sfiras HaOmer, to all other mitzvahs where it says Lachem as well. The Torah Tmima is baffled. He says he doesn't know where it comes from either. So later on, our contemporaries have found that it is a medrash. The medrash writes a beferish that you have to stand up for the mitzvah, bakama, bakoma, whatever it is, by Sfiras HaOmer. And the Kesef Mishnah and the Prima Gadim are of the opinion that this is a gzeira shava midasa. This is a real din d'oraisa that you're supposed to stand up when you perform the mitzvah of tzitzis as well as the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So the Vilna Gaon points out, what are all the mitzvahs that it says lachem by? Anybody know? So what are all the mitzvahs? The Vilna Gaon says there's a list of seven. What are those seven? Number one, he says, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis. By tzitzis, the Shulchan Aruch says, because it says v'hayim litis, therefore you have to stand up. So too by shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What does it say by shofar? Yom Chua Yielachem. So you have to stand up when you're blowing the shofar as well. By lulav, you have to stand up when you shake the lulav. It says, Ulakachtem Lachem. By bris milah, when a person performs a bris milah, it says, Himal Lachem Kol Zachar, which gets into a major shaila because the Chassidish Rebbes used to have a practice that they would be both the Sandik and the Moel. How they did that, I have no idea. But they have that there was such a practice. I was actually once at a bris where the Skver Rebbe was the Sandik and the Mol. I saw it. It's a fascinating thing. I would be scared to have my child go through such a process, but I guess the Hasidim are not scared. So the Mila also is supposed to be standing up while you do the bris. Himalachem. But if you're the Sandik, how can you stand, hold a baby on one leg, and do the bris Mila at the same time? It's not so easy. Maybe the Rebbes know how to do that too. And by Kiddush Levana, it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. So that's why some say you have to stand up by Kiddush Levana. The problem with that is, we say in Kiddush Levana while we stand. It says in Kiddush Levana we stand because the Shechina is present. Nothing to do with Lachem. So that's a kasha, a good question. But the Vilna Gaon basically says, these are the ones that we have to stand for. These are the seven mitzvahs generally that we assume are learned from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So, when it comes to the Tkiyas Shofar, as we just mentioned, because it says Lachem, one has to stand up. However, since we assume that the main part of the Tkiyas Shofar is in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, like we said before, that's the main part, that's the main Kiyum HaMitzvah, so why do we have to stand when we blow the Shofar at the beginning of Musaf? That's not the real Mitzvah. That's just to confuse the Satan. Whatever it is, we're getting him thrown off track But why is it that we have to stand at that part? So that's a further discussion. Why does the Ramah say in Simen Tav Kuf Pei Aleph that we have to stand up when we blow the first set of tkiyos, when in fact that's not really the bona fide mitzvah of tkiyah shofar? So the Levush writes, the reason why the Baal Tokeya has to stand up when he's doing the mitzvah is because Kavadat Tzibur, he's being motzi all of us in the mitzvah. It would be proper for him to stand up when he's being motzi the Tzibur. There are others who say that there's a different reason. There are others who say because when the Jewish people came to Har Sinai, so we're told by he kol ha-shofar holech v'chazek me'od. We know that everybody was standing because they were in such awe of the moment. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that based on that, we try to bring the schus ha-Torah, the same way we stood up by Kabbalah ha-Torah, so do we stand here by the tkiyah shofar to remind ourselves of the schus that we have in the fact that we keep the Torah and the fact that we are excited by the mitzvah ha-Torah. That's something that we remind the Ribbono Shel Olam of at the time of tkiyah shofar as well. So either way, we have the practice that not only do we stand during the tkiyos in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, which are the main part of the mitzvah, like the Torah writes, but we even stand up when we have the first set of tkiyos shofar, which is before the beginning of Musaf. There is the practice that when we blow the first set of tkiyos, we leave the Sefer Torah on the bima. And the question is that a proper practice or not? So the Rambam is of the opinion that no, you have to put the Sefer Torah away. It's a bizayin to the Sefer Torah. Why should the Sefer Torah be sitting out while we're doing a totally different mitzvah, unrelated to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? So the Rambam says, first year machziren as a Sefer Torah la'aron, put the Sefer Torah away. Once you get that out of the way, now we're going to go on to the next part of davening, which is to blow the shofar. However, as we know, that is not our practice. The Ramah quotes the Torah that we have the practice that we go ahead and first we blow the shofar and we cover over the Sefer Torah while we do that, and then only afterward do we go ahead and put the Sefer Torah away after we're finished with the Kriyas HaTorah. And this is a big question, why is that the case? So the Netziv has a suggestion where he writes some convoluted reason why we keep the Sefer Torah out, why should this make sense? So he says maybe it's because the Sefer Torah on the Bima is like the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And the same way when they had the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash with the carbon on it, they used to blow a shofar, so too we're trying to show the same thing, that this is like a Beis HaMikdash, this is like the Mizbeach with the Sefer Torah on it, and we blow the shofar. I don't know. I don't exactly understand what the rationale is, but that's the somewhat of the understanding that the Netziv gives. Again, that's our practice. The Rambam is of the opinion that that's not the way it should be done, but the way we do it is we leave the Sefer Torah out. We have another minhag, which is that we cover over the shofar when we make the bracha. I always wondered, what's the pshat? Why do we cover over the shofar while we make the bracha? It doesn't make any sense. You're about to do the mitzvah. We all know that you're not supposed to make any sort of interruption between blowing the shofar and the bracha that you make, the same way you're not supposed to make any interruption by any other mitzvah that you do. So take, for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes, when a person is putting on their talis, a lot of people don't know this. So what do? When do you make the bracha before you put on the talis? So obviously you have to make it over Lasiyasan. You have to make the bracha before you put the talis on. But the Gemara says you can't make it too much in advance. Over to over is also not allowed. So you see some people in the morning start making the bracha on the tefillin while they're still unwrapping it. That's not proper. You're supposed to make the bracha on the tefillin over Lasiyasan immediately before you put it on. The same goes for the talis. You shouldn't make the bracha while it's still folded up. You should make the bracha as you're holding it over your head to be about to be misateh, if that's when you make the bracha. Otherwise, it's too much in advance. So over here as well, why do we cover over the shofar and now we have to take the cover off before going ahead and blowing? Why does that make sense? Why don't you just hold the shofar in your hand ready to go immediately after the bracha is made? So the Stechemed discusses our practice and he says the reason why is as follows. He says that one of the Achrayites in his Agdama to the Zohar HaKadosh, the Radal, I think his name was Rab David Luria, has an Agdama to the Zohar HaKadosh. So I never read the Zohar and I never read the Radal either, but the Stechemed quotes the Lashon of the Radal, where he says as follows. He says that before the Arkeda, B'shas Binyan HaMizbeach, before Yitzchak Avinu was about to be brought as a carbon onto the Mizbeach, Hitznia Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu hid Yitzchak in order to make sure that no mum would happen to him. He didn't want that Yitzchak should trip, and then he's going to get a scratch, and then he's going to get a bump on his head, and then he won't be fit to be a carbon on the Mizbeach. So he hid him in a place where nothing can possibly happen to him. And so too, says the Radal, that's the pshat why we cover over the shofar as well, since this is supposed to remind us of the Isle of Yitzchak, since this is supposed to remind us of the Akedas Yitzchak that Avram Avinu was involved in. So the same way Avram Avinu hid the carbon to make sure nothing would happen, we hide the shofar, so to speak, to remind ourselves of the tremendous Akedas Yitzchak that took place on this occasion, and that's what we try to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam of on Rosh Hashanah as well. As the Gemara tells us, the shofar is supposed to be a reminder of the Akedas Yitzchak, to remind Hashem how much zechusim we have, how much zechusavos we have, and that he should evoke all of those chusim that we should have a shana tova. I did see another pshat, which is very fascinating, more of a halachic pshat, not so much al derech hadrash, but he says, we have a halach on hilchos brachos. Let's say a person takes an apple, you make a bari pri ha'etz, and then the apple falls out of your hand, drops into the mud, you're not going to eat it now, right? It's all dirty, you're not going to eat it. So you go to the basket, you take another apple out. So the halach is, you have to go ahead and make another bracha bari pri ha'etz. Why? Because when you made the bracha on the apple, you had in mind on the one you were holding in your hand. You didn't have in mind that it was going to fall into the mud, and then I'm going to have to go take another one. So since your bracha did not cover the other ones that were in the batch, therefore you have to make a bracha once again when you take the second apple because the first one got ruined. So he writes that perhaps the pshat over here, why is it that we cover over the shofar before a person blows the shofar? The reason why is as follows, because if the Baal Tokeya has his favorite shofar and he's holding it in his hand as he's about to make the bracha, so what happens? He tries to blow it, doesn't work, right? So now he's going to take, he always comes prepared, he comes with five other shofars just in case, the backups, but that's not the one he had in mind to make the bracha on. So they argue that maybe the same way in Hilchas Brachos, if a person's apple falls into the mud, yeah, you have to make a new bracha on the second apple, so to over here, if I have a shofar, so to speak, that falls into the mud, that now is not usable, how do you know that my bracha that I made is going to work for the second shofar? It's a tremendous gaonus, tremendous chap. So maybe that's the reason we cover over all the shofars to show we're not having in mind for any specific shofar. We're having in mind for anything that's here. They should all be included in the bracha, and even if something goes wrong with one of them, we're going to take another one, and all those will be included, and there's no reason to make a bracha once again. That's a very interesting insight, as perhaps the reason why we make a bracha on the shofar when all of them are covered over, just in case something gets ruined. This way we'll have all of them, so to speak, in mind when we recite the bracha on the shofar. One last point is, the person who's the Baal Tokeya is supposed to hold the shofar in their Yad Yamin, in their right hand, the same way that a person is supposed to hold a fruit or a vegetable or any food item when you're making a bracha on it, you're supposed to hold it in the Yad Yamin because that is the more chashuv. So too, when you have the experience of blowing the shofar, you're supposed to hold the shofar in specifically the Yad Yamin to show that this is something that is chashuv and this is something that we very much respect. So we hold it in the more respectful side of the body, so to speak, which is the Yad Yamin. Yes.